Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We're going to actually pick up where we left off last week. If you're not real familiar with your Bible, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 16 through 18 here today. So if you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, it is so good to be able to open your word and hear you talking to us. Father, as you have appointed me as your representative to speak your word to your people here this morning, Lord, Father, I humble myself and hide behind the cross. The things that I say here this morning, Lord, are got to be the things that you want me to say. And silence me for things that you do not want me to say. Father, you get all the praise. You get all the glory for your word and what it means to us. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We are in this big sermon series on the Holy Spirit, but we're kind of breaking it down into little segments. And the little mini-series that we're in the middle of right now is called that we're going to live by the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, as some Bibles would say. Actually, I prefer walking by the Spirit, but living by the Spirit. And last week we talked about Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, that we are commanded. It's actually a command that we are to walk by the Spirit. And we made this analogy and we said the Holy Spirit is like our GPS system. We have a GPS system in a car, and if we ding in the right address, it tells us exactly where we need to go. And the Holy Spirit is a believer's GPS system. It's God's providing spirit. And that spirit knows which direction we need to go, and that direction is becoming more Christ-like. And the Holy Spirit wants to provide us with that direction. But Galatians 5:17 said that there's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a conflict, or there's going to be this battle in our attempt to do this, because the believer, us believers, we haven't shed this sinful nature, which some Bibles call the flesh. And that sinful nature does not want to relinquish its power over us. And it's going to fight the Holy Spirit for control over us. And the Holy Spirit's trying to do the good things, and the sinful nature is trying to do those bad things in us, and there's going to be a conflict. And Romans 6:18 said this, that even though we are saved and we are slaves to righteousness, that spiritual warfare really at that point has begun in our lives. And many of us might feel that on a day-to-day basis, that we struggle between doing the good things and doing the bad things. Remember those old those cartoons where you had the good guy on the one shoulder and the devil was on one shoulder and the angel was on the other shoulder trying to tell the person which way to go? Well, we kind of have a similar battle going on with us as believers. And we want to make sure that we come out on the winning end of that. But I assure you that as long as we are in these mortal bodies, sin will never, never be totally, totally eradicated from our lives. But as believers, we cannot use that as an excuse or a free license to sin. It's imperative that we do win more battles than we lose. And it does take God's Spirit along with human effort to win these battles. At the end of the message last week, I challenged all of us, including myself, to be, one, more attentive, and two, be more obedient to the directions of our own GPS system, that God's providing spirit that's within us. And we need to remember that the Spirit's job is to give us direction in all aspects of our lives. For this direction, that direction, this direction. But this scripture here in Galatians is speaking specifically on giving us direction when we encounter sinful situations. So today I want to give us all a few pointers that should help us all have the upper hand in this conflict or this battle that we are going to have. First, before we get into the fill in the blanks and our bulletin, I want everyone in here to know that I take the issue of sin very, very seriously. I firmly believe today, in today's evangelical church, in America especially and around the world, that churches, pastors, and Christians are failing to take the same stand that I do. They take sin very lightly. Many believe that a decision for Christ at some point in time gives that person the liberty to do what they want later on and then claim that all their iniquities are covered by God's grace. That's cheap grace. The Bible doesn't teach cheap grace. The Bible makes it very clear in Galatians 5, 19 through 21 that there are acts of the sinful nature, and I'm going to read them to you. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. When our lives and our lifestyles are characterized by the acts of the sinful nature, the Bible gives us a warning, and it's a severe warning. It says this, that that person will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says that we were bought at a price, and that the old creature has gone, and the new creature has come. A very similar warning is given in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which I'm going to take just a few moments to read that. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. It says this, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." There's a key thing that Paul says here in verse number 11. This is what some of you were. Past tense. It's what we were. It is a person that we used to be at one point in time, but we have been washed. We have been justified. We have been sanctified by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. It's a past tense thing. Those acts of the sinful nature are past tense. And Paul sums it up in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 14. And I just want to finish up right here and then we'll get to our fill in the blanks. Romans 8, 9 through 14 says this, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to the mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." I do know that as we walk this Christian walk, there is going to be a conflict. Galatians 5:17 says this, that there will be a conflict, there will be a battle in our lives. But it says that these things are just going to happen on occasion. It does say that they are not the way that we are, the way that our lifestyle. When these occasions of sin turn routine and, keyword, unrepentive, routine and unrepentive, that person is walking in a very spiritual danger zone. The warnings are given in God's Word. Now, with all that said, let's move on to our fill in the blanks in our bulletin, and let's see if we can figure out how we can maybe help win this battle of this sinful nature that wants to keep on coming out into our lives. To start, let's go to James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, and we'll fill in our first fill in the blank in the bulletin. Let me read that to you, and then we'll see what it says. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Our first fill in the blank in our bulletin would say this, our temptations that lead to sin. I made sure I put that in there because we're all tempted. Even Jesus was tempted. Our temptations that lead to sin are a product of our own evil desires, is what James 1:14 says. We do know that God cannot tempt us, right? What happened in the Garden of Eden after the fall of man? Well, let me sum it up for you in these three lines. God questioned Adam. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And they all were rebuked and they were all under a curse. They all got in trouble. So often we are like that. James says this, that we are tempted by our own evil desires. You know, it's so easy to blame the devil for our failures, isn't it? Oh, the devil made me do it. It's the devil's fault. It's the devil making me do it. And I do know that in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus was tempted by the devil, but he was without sin. But we do have our own evil desires. And sometimes blaming the devil for our shortcomings is just another way of passing the blame and shunning our responsibility for our actions. The Bible says it's our own evil desires that make us fail. I know this. I can speak personally about this. I know what my own evil desires are. There are some things that I can be tempted with that won't faze me in the least. I couldn't. It's just like that pathway of sin. I just don't travel that pathway. However, there's this other pathway that this one's a little difficult for me because these are my own evil desires. And let's face it, I'll say it here first. Sometimes sin can be fun. Sometimes we really like doing it. And I want to travel this path. And it's my own evil desires that want to take me down this path. Can we blame it on the devil? If you want to blame it on the devil, blame it on the devil. But here in James, it's saying this. It's our own evil desires that tempt us and we're dragged away and enticed. Now let's get to our second fill in the blank. And this comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Very familiar scripture. Verses 12 and 13 says this, so, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Verse 13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you cannot bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Our second fill in the blank in the bulletin would say this: God always provides a way out of our tempting situations. He always provides a way out. This is our GPS system. This is the God's providing spirit within us. And that spirit has given us direction so that we will not fall into sin. The big question is, are we listening and are we being obedient? Jesus says this back on the Sermon on the Mount: if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. Now let me put it into the 21st century. If HBO causes you to sin, get rid of HBO. If your credit card causes you to sin, cut it up and throw it away. If your friends cause you to sin, you need new friends. That's what that means. If pornography and looking at things that are sexually immoral are your thing, that's one thing that you're tempted with, and you have those channels on your TV that all you got to do is press that button and go to them, you have a choice to make. Maybe you don't need to have that cable at all coming into your house. I don't know how the Holy Spirit is telling you how to resolve your situation. But God's Word says this: He always provides a way out of our situation, regardless of what that is. And now let's go to our third fill-in-the-blank, which we can get from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thessalonians, two little books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. If you find the Timothy books, they're right before the Timothy books. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. Some of the shortest verses in the whole Bible. Start with verse 19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. The first verse there, 19, says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. The Spirit's fire is that GPS within us that's saying, don't do this, don't do that, you don't go there, you need to go here instead. Don't put out the fire. But the key verse, number 22, is this, and this is our fill in the blank. We must avoid every kind of evil. Avoid every kind of evil. There was an actress back, I believe, from the 30s and 40s. Her name was Mae West. You may have heard that name before. She was quoted as saying this: I generally avoid temptation unless I can't resist it. Now, there's a real good theological statement. I generally avoid temptation unless I can't resist it. Let me ask you this. Would you rather resist a tempting situation or totally avoid a tempting situation? You don't have to resist something that you have already avoided. King David, if he would have avoided that little rooftop stroll that he did, when first of all he should have been out fighting the battles with his men, he would have never had to resist Bathsheba. I know that there will be times in our lives where we find ourselves in a tempting situation that possibly could not have been avoided. But this morning, let's focus on those tempting situations that can be avoided and how we can avoid them. Now, in your bulletin, I have a little acrostic, A-V-O-I-D. I thought that was pretty cute and clever myself. A-V-O-I-D, and each one of those is going to be the first letter of the word that we're going to use to fill in the blank. How can we avoid temptation in our lives? And that's what these next five fill-in-the-blanks will be. How can we avoid temptation? Well, sometimes we have to be like King David. Just don't go on the rooftop. Just don't watch the TV. Just don't go shopping. Just don't go or be with those people. First fill-in-the-blank, A, we aim to a higher standard. We need to aim to a higher standard. You know that some people are only going to rise to the bar that is set for them. If the bar is set this high, that's as high as they go. If it's set that high, that's as high as they go. A lot of people, when in a working situation, if you have to produce 100 of these widgets in a day, they will only produce 100 widgets a day. And it's funny how if you tell that same person, I need you to do 150 widgets a day, they'll do 150 widgets in a day. It's amazing how high a person will go by the bar that is set for them. Jesus says this in Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, how's that for a standard? One that's kind of unachievable, perhaps, but one that we need to aim for. We need to aim for that higher standard. And if we aim for that higher standard, there's certainly a good chance that we will avoid the temptation. V, we need to value your position in Christ. As believers, do we realize what Christ has really done for us? 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, that we were bought at a price. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says that the one who is in us is greater than he who is within the world. We have the power of God, the Holy Spirit residing in us, and He is more powerful than the spirit of the world, and that would be the devil. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, ask this, who can separate us from the love of God? Can trouble? No. Can hardship? No. Persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. None of these things can separate us from God because that's our position in Christ. It says in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors. Do we value the position that we have in Jesus Christ? So if we're going to avoid temptation, we need to aim to a higher standard. We need to value our position in Christ. And we need to occupy our idle time. Occupy your idle time. Here's a question for you. What are you doing when you're not doing anything? Somebody calls you on the phone. You know, hey Lee, hey Jimmy, hey Donna, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. Yes, you are. You're doing something. Aren't you? You're doing something. We're always doing something. I heard Kay just say just a moment ago, we're sleeping. Well, okay, we're sleeping. Maybe that's a real good way to avoid evil. Sleep. But what are we doing when we're doing nothing? Did you ever hear, this line is not out of the Bible, so this is not scriptural, but it is very practical. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. We've all heard that. Maybe our parents or our mom taught us that when we were younger. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus tells of a story of a man who was given one talent. And what did he do with that one talent? He was too lazy. He did nothing with it. And his master called him lazy. And he said this, throw that worthless servant outside where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not saying that we have to be doing God's work all the time, but we should be occupying our idle time with something constructive. Chances are, you will give in to temptation and sin when you find yourself with nothing to do. Amen. I'll be the first one to admit that. Keep yourself occupied with something. Why does that happen? It's our human condition. Our mind just goes blank and it goes back into that wrong direction. Aim to a higher standard. Value our position in Christ. Occupy our idle time. I include the Holy Spirit in your decisions. And that's what this whole thing about walking in the Spirit is about. Include the Holy Spirit in your decisions. You got decisions to make about jobs, about places to go, about this, about that. Include the Holy Spirit in your decision. A very bad thing happened on February 19th, 1985. An Iberia Airlines Boeing 727 crashed into Mount Oiz in Balboa, Spain on that day. 148 people died in the crash. After the crash, they recovered the black box from that airplane. It recorded the last 30 seconds, 60 seconds or so of cockpit conversation. The conversation went something like this in the cockpit. The plane was headed straight for a mountain, Mount Oiz. The voice in the part of the airplane came back and told the pilot, pull up, pull up. Kept on repeating, pull up. The pilot responded back, shut up, gringo, and turned the device off. 30 seconds later, 148 people were dead. We have this thing in us, call it the Holy Spirit, call it our conscience, call it whatever, and it's like the first alert warning system. You know, we have those things in our house, right, that the smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors, they detect that stuff before we ever do. And it's a warning system to warn us something is wrong. This person, this voice in the cockpit was warning the pilot, you better pull up, something really bad is going to happen. And it did. And sometimes our GPS system inside us is saying the same thing. So I ask, do we listen to our conscience? Do we listen to our GPS? I assure you that including our conscience and our GPS system, the Spirit in our decisions, will help us avoid temptation. Aim for a higher standard. Value our position in Christ. Occupy our idle time. Include the Holy Spirit in our decisions. And D, we need to dive into God's Word. Dive into God's Word. Every believer needs to be reading God's Word on a daily basis, sometime, some way, somehow, for some length of time. When you do that is up to you. What you read is up to you. Personally, I find it as a very good way of starting my day. The first thing I do when I get up, I open my Bible, I have a devotional, and then I open my Bible. And I'll be honest with you, it's probably no more than 15 minutes of time that I read. But it's a very good way of diving into God's Word and keeping away from temptation. After all, if we're reading God's Word, what's one thing that we're not doing? We're not being infiltrated by temptation, be it our own evil desires or Satan or whoever. You'll notice that every Sunday in the bulletin, I have daily scripture reading over here in the right-hand side. And if you adhere to this every day, that there's Old Testament scripture, there's New Testament scripture, and throughout the whole year, you could actually read the Bible in a year if you like. Maybe you just might want to read the New Testament. Maybe you just want to read the Old Testament. But every Sunday in our bulletin, we have some recommended scripture readings. Maybe you have a devotional of your own. I'm sure we all have a Bible. So I ask, do we dive into God's Word? 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says this, that we need to avoid every kind of evil. Galatians 5:16 says this, that we need to walk by the Spirit. You know, if you put the two of those together, they really make a whole lot of sense. That when we walk by the Spirit, we will avoid every kind of evil. Aim to a higher standard, Beech Grove. Value your position in Christ, Beech Grove. Occupy your idle time, Beech Grove. Include the Holy Spirit in on all of your decisions, Beech Grove. And let's all dive into God's Word. That's at least some suggestions on keeping the conflict to a minimum. And trust me, it will work. Let's go to God in prayer.